neat time. We went through 1 Kings 2 when David is dying and Solomon is... 1 Kings chapter 2.
Where were you?
Oh, sorry. I guess I assumed that you guys knew that. I was at Community Bible Church. So neat. Neat big little church. I liked it a lot. It was very, very cool. David Gilmore is a great guy. So I got to meet him. And so that was neat. I think the Lord moved. You know, you never can. Somebody's sleeping in the back, and then somebody else is like, all there. And you go, okay, Lord, whatever. Sounds good. Let's pray. Is that good enough for you, Ron?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, sorry. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, Lord, and you give us your word, and you tell us to study it, Lord, and you tell us to keep the statutes and walk in the commandments, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you also place in the desire, or the desire in us to do those things, Lord. I ask that you would continue to do that with us as we grow up and grow to you, Father, eventually. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the tools that we need. God, I do ask that your word would be accurately addressed and revealed. And God, I pray that you would use the words that I'm going to say and the thoughts that I've thought. And I pray, Lord, that you would just wipe away the things that need to not be said and bring forward and highlight the things that this little group needs to hear. And so thank you, Lord, that you care for us and you're intimate with us. And Lord God, you know us and you're excited about your word being preached. And that's one of your commands. And so we're excited to do that. And in Jesus' name, amen. Yes. So last week, the question was posed whether we can control our tongues or not. I took out my pencil. And... I thought it would be interesting to take a stab at that. And so I was thinking about it, and I guess I would offer that what if it depends on what's going on in your heart? What if that's the key to which, you know, you know and you understand you're controlling your thoughts, and it's not, or you're controlling your words, and it's not necessarily that you're saying, and some of you guys do this, and this is good. You capture every thought, and you go, that shouldn't be said, and you don't say it. That's good. But other times, it's a way of speaking, and you go, like the thoughts conduct what you are going to say. Jesus says something that's very interesting to Peter in Matthew. I have a lot of little tiny Bible markers this morning, so we're going to figure that out. Jesus says something to Peter, which is really neat, in Matthew 15, verse 18. For out of the heart, or I'm so sorry, 18, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So Jesus is pointing, what James proclaims comes off the tongue, Jesus says that comes from the heart. And that's actually... the end of my sermon, and I was just thinking about it as I was sitting here, and I thought, boy, I wonder if I should say that first. And so that's kind of our lead-in with, okay, we were just talking about teaching, and James gave this big old rant about the tongue. And now I wanted to go back and discuss who James is talking to, just kind of his audience. It took me a few reads to really grasp what was going on in this passage. And to, I don't know if you guys understand this, but there's like this sometimes I read the Bible and there's just my monotone voice, and then other times you read it and you start to grasp it and you go, oh, this is the connotation that James is driving at, and there's a different voice that comes in, and it makes more sense because you understand what he's saying to whom. So to give us that to start us out with this idea, who is James talking to? It's funny. After this, in Matthew 18, we're going to read a little bit and define some of these things, and we'll hop back into James. So Matthew 18, 1 through 6, at this time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he, Jesus, called a child to himself and said to them, and set him before them, and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore will humble himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus, I think, is exposing the false piety and religiosity of his disciples. His disciples are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They are seeking for personal esteem, positions of esteem and greatness in what they thought to be Christ's earthly kingdom and in their lifetime. They're envisioning the Messiah's coming. He's here. He's going to take over Rome. It's going to be crazy. And we get to sit next to Christ. And then they go to him and they go, "Hey, who's the greatest? Like, give us which one of us have been really working on it." And Jesus sets a child before him and he says, "Be humble." Like, what the heck? This is not the point. The point is you must become like children to even get into the kingdom. And so Jesus exposes their false, they have a backwards theology here. They're focusing on their own idea of piety over people, over the value of humans. And I think this is the same thing that James is doing, or this is the same audience that James is talking to when he's writing James. So we're going to read our piece of scripture, James 3, 13 through 18. And we're going to settle down and discuss what he's doing there. Oh dear, that's James 1. There we go. "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good conduct his works in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruits, without doubting and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So throughout his letter, from the very beginning to pretty much the end, and especially to here, James is rebuking and he's correcting. The very first issue that we see is someone composes a thought that God tempts them. And James goes, "What is wrong with you? God doesn't tempt. God brings the truth. It's you. It's your lusts. What is going on in your head?" And so this same idea, this false piety, what I have written here is they have hypocritical, self-proclaimed spiritualism. And so they are self-proclaimed. They're seeking the greater things, and they're being hypocrites all the way. In James 1, 27, James says something which is said and needs to be said, but shouldn't be said, because it means that these people were not doing this. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James has to go right down to the basics. And you say, guys, you are not understanding the point. The point isn't who is the greatest among us. The point is this: let's be pure. What is real religion? To keep oneself unscathed from the world. So this is kind of the audience that James has been dealing with. And then he comes down into this wisdom bit. This wisdom part feels very standalone. James, he's just getting done telling them, like, hey, not many of you should become teachers. Well, and why? The reason is because the tongue is a volatile piece of equipment, and it does terrifying things. And so then he comes down into this wisdom bit, and it feels really standalone, and it's weird. I would argue that it's not standalone at all. He's addressing some of the heart issues that he's been dealing with this whole time. And he does it very well, I think. So he's looking, he goes in, and he goes deep, and he cuts straight in, and he says, let's talk about wisdom. Let's talk about where the teaching is derived from. James does this by shedding accurate light on wisdom. I think that wisdom is a commodity. It is an invisible commodity that is desired by men. And we can see that. The very first time we see that is in Genesis 3. If you want to turn with me there. Verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. And so she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. There's a few reasons why Eve is moved and interested in the tree that she has been forbidden to eat from. And one of those reasons is that it could make her wise. It could make her know things. And this is something that we see in a few different places in the Bible. And I have three of them here. You don't have to turn, just listen. They'll be pretty quick. Job 5, starting at verse 12, he frustrates the thoughts of the crafty so that their hands cannot attain success of wisdom. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the twisted is quickly thwarted. Also in Proverbs 26:12 as well, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And finally, in Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, and understanding in their own sight. So it is evident that evil and wicked people want to be wise as much as righteous people. And some of them are really, really wise. I've written down, you are not good because you are wise. It doesn't make you good. Your brains don't make you edifying. James reveals that wisdom has evidences. And so, okay, what is wisdom? Wisdom is desired by all people, a lot of people. And now James comes in and he says, wisdom, it has things that show itself or that reveal it. Verse 13, we're back in James. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good conduct and his works in the gentleness of wisdom. You must show. There is evidence, there's motive, there's substance to wisdom, and it can be revealed. And that's and James points that out there. We'll continue. This wisdom is not coming, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above. We have one kind of wisdom, but it is earthly wisdom, natural, demonic. We have two kinds of wisdom, and those things are what James is kind of clarifying, and we're going to look at each one of them. The first one is wisdom from above. And so, here we go. Earlier in James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we have that verse, and then there's two verses in Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10 that say, and where Solomon writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And so there is a wisdom that comes from God, that he ordains. And then there's also a wisdom, as we saw in our other passages, that there's a wisdom that God tears down and he crumbles, and it's you're wise in your own eyes. In Ephesians 5, we have another little look at wisdom. Ephesians 5:15, therefore look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. On account of this, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, not dispensation. That's different. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So this wisdom, I would argue, that comes from God, it also has, there's it's connected to unity as well. There's a unification in that verse where, and in Ephesians, Paul is saying, okay, there's Jews and there's Gentiles. Okay, we through Christ, we are one man. Through Christ, those things are connected. There's no longer a severance between those two people groups. We're one, now act like it. Now walk in it. And this is at the end of Ephesians where he's saying, this is what wise people do. They walk with one another. They fellowship with one another. And so those are some intimacies and some pieces of that wisdom that is from above. Now we're going to look at the other kind of wisdom. And we've already kind of touched on it. We're going to go back to James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly and natural and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil practice. The wisdom, or the evidences of the wisdom that is natural and earthly and demonic, are right where he said they are. Their jealousy and their selfishness and their arrogance, and they lead to lies. And then from those lies comes every evil practice. Paul rebukes the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at that one. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. People are bickering, the Corinthians are bickering with one another based on who has led them to the Lord. So, and in the beginning, you guys will remember this, some say, well, I have Paul, and others say, well, I have Apollos, and they're going at each other, and they're going to one another, and they're saying, man, I'm better than you are. I'm greater in the kingdom of heaven because I followed this dude. And Paul is very stern with these people.
Where are we at?
1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the sanctuary of God, God will destroy him. For the sanctuary of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For as it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And Paul is very clear about there is wisdom from the world, and you have it. And if you think you're wise, if you think you're there, you need to unwisdom yourself and become a fool, because that is foolishness in the God in God's realm. Is your wisdom is foolishness to the Lord. I think that this boasting, he goes into it. It's 21. So then, let no one boast in men. I think that boasting, what he's talking about there, is the same arrogance that James is talking about. If you think about it, okay, you have wisdom in your own eyes, and that means I'm better than you are, and therefore I have the ability to. I have to defend my greatness, and so. I boast about myself, I'm arrogant, and then that hovers over into lies, and these people they're telling lies to promote themselves and in their arrogance, and both Peter and James are saying, cut this out, stop, this is not the point. You have to become fools. Don't you understand? There's different wisdoms. There's your wisdom and there's God's wisdom, and you have to drop one to grab the other, to catch the other, because it's not from you. I think that's what he's pointing to there. And then they're also, and in that whole spirit, is there unity? And the answer is no, there's not unity. You're breaking apart what the Lord has put together. And so when Paul in Ephesians is talking about unify yourselves to one another, and he's pulling it together, and he says, like, hang out with each other and praise the Lord with one another. That's in the spirit of unity. That's the wisdom that he's talking about. And when you have your wisdom, you're going against that. And that's what Christ is talking about when he, back in Matthew 18, he says, you guys think that you're so great? Like, what is going on here? And he sets a child in front of him. He says, this is important. Humble yourselves. Become like the child who wants to be with people. Who wants to be with the Lord. And the disciples say, hey, no, get out of here. Stop. Let the children come to me. Christ wants that unity. And when we're arrogant, when the arrogance flares up and boasting begins to happen and lies, that is going against what Christ died for and created the church. And I think that is what James is talking about when he says that this wisdom is demonic. So you have natural wisdom, yeah, it's in me. Earthly wisdom, you know, I got to look out for me, for number one. I got to make money. I got to figure it out. And I don't have time to care about other people. Yeah, that's wisdom from the earth. But then it's demonic. It's against what Christ has set up. That's pretty harsh. And I think that that's what he's talking about, is this dissension that is the people that James are talking to, they're pulling away from one another. And I think that some of them are Christians. I don't know if all of them are, but I do think that he's talking to, in the beginning, James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion greetings. So I don't think he's talking about people who know the Lord. And of course they know the Lord. They want to preach and they want to teach and they want to be great. And he's like, you're missing the basics. And you're going against what the Lord has already set up. And that's demonic. And you can't do that. Well, they can, but it's bad. Let's keep reading. 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, considerate, it's submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, without doubting, without hypocrisy. These are really, these seem like a list. It is a list. This is a good list. This is a great list. He starts out with purity. It goes straight to the foundation. What is your wisdom built on? Is it built on the love you have for the brethren, for Christ? Or is it built on your own gain? Are you pure? Is your heart right with the Lord? And then he goes straight into then peaceable. And that is, that's like the checks and balances. That's the balance of what he's already said. Are you pure? And then are you peaceable? Well, if you're not getting along with other people, you're probably not pure. And there, you know, maybe there's some nuance there, but in general, these people are going at each other's throats. And he's saying, this, the fact that you are you're going against one another in this way means you're not being pure. So it's, this is a good list. Consider it going even further. You know, maybe we're peaceable, but we don't talk. That's why we can get along. No, consider it. We're going to one another. Are these people ministering to each other? Submissive. Are they lowering themselves below one another? Over and over and over again, Christ says, if anybody wants to be great in the kingdom, he has to serve. He's got to become a servant. That's that submission. James brings that right in. Full of mercy. When somebody wrongs you, what do? Are you lashing out? These people were lashing out. And we can see that later in 4. These people are going nuts. He says, you don't have, and so you murder. You just take it. That's not merciful. James calls for mercy and good fruits without doubting. Don't be wavering. And without hypocrisy. And that is just the wrapping up of all that they have. We're great, and yet here we are. We need to be told to serve the poor. That's hypocritical. That's what Christ teaches all the way through, and they missed it. And James is coming back and he's saying, without hypocrisy, you can't. This should have no place among you. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to those who make peace, or by those who make peace. I like this little end cap that he puts on here. It's very nice. It's very pretty. I like it a lot. And it really sinks in. It's really good. I think it's easy. It's important for us to it's important for us to walk in this, even as we think about people who may not be walking in this. It is easy sometimes for some of us, some people that we know, for us ourselves, even if in our hearts. Actually, we should just go straight to us. So it's easy for us to pedestal ourselves on the righteousness that we deem is necessary, and then to segregate ourselves and separate ourselves from other people because they do not attain to the level of righteousness that we have and that we have deemed worthy and accepting and wonderful. And James is saying the righteousness that is proclaiming is not righteousness. Righteousness, the singular, wonderful, budding fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so this pedestaling and this greater than thou, he chops that right down. And he goes, nope, you have to be peaceable. You have to make, and then righteousness can come about. It's easy to be righteous in your own head. It's easy. It's easy to walk your walk and talk your talk and hate all the other people who aren't you know, right there. That's very easy. And James is, that's not righteousness. Righteousness is when we're walking in unity. And that's wisdom. He comes back into wisdom. He goes, this is wisdom from the Lord. It's unified. Dan gave me this one, which was fun. Colossians 3, 14. Just a little end on that. 14. Above all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let that sink in. Love binds unity together. We're together, we're one in Christ because we, and it shows because we love each other. That's that evidence of our unity is love. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. There is that whole list of fellowship, that whole singing together. People who hate each other usually don't sing together. And he's saying, do it with joy, with thankfulness. Be grateful to God. Yes, Beth.
And I have read that somebody's done research, and people who sing together develop a unity.
Yeah, I believe that. I think there's probably a God thing going on there. Is God loves? I think God really likes music. I think He likes that. And whatever you do, 17. In word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Up here in 15, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. That word rule in the Greek is translated it is the arbiter, which is the decision maker in a game or in a conflict. It's also commands the destiny, and so let the peace of Christ command the destiny of your heart. What are you going to say? Well, what's going on in your heart? I thought that was a neat little slip in there. The wisdom from above is sown in unity. The love for the brethren, and it's shown by that through the love that we have for each other, and the fellowship that we have with one another. And then I was going to answer the question that I answered in the beginning, but I'm not anymore. I mean, I guess we could go there again. So, last week, the question whether we can control our tongues came up. Can we do it or not? And I would offer that it would depend on what's going on in your heart, just as Christ says. He says, hey, that which proceeds from the mouth comes from the heart first. It's planted there. And you can tell what's in your heart based on what's coming out of your mouth. That's a nice little something to think about. And just something to acknowledge and be aware of and go, boy, Lord, I've got some things coming out of my mouth that are not of you. What are the things that in here that I need to be digging out and throwing away and calling demonic and saying, this is not it. So let that sink in. Any questions? Please tell me if I'm spitting heresy. No, really. or just, Ron.
So you think that James was written to the disciples?
That is a good question. I don't think that he's writing it to. I think this is where my mind goes. And Dan, please correct me if I'm wrong. I think that when Nero is killing people, killing Christians, And there's a dispersion, and people go, they go out and about, and they go all away. I think that that's where my mind goes. I didn't do a ton of research on the origin of the origin of this book, to the 12 tribes who are in the dispersion greetings. There has been some weird ideas that come from that verse right there, and I understand why. I think that that's who, I think he's talking to Christians.
He wasn't really a follower of Christ while his brother was alive. He didn't really come to the faith till afterwards.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. And then, yeah, that's true. I don't know. I will do some research on that and get back to you. And maybe I'm right on, but I don't. I'll look into that.
So always assume you're right on.
No, that's wisdom in my heart. That's not good. That's anybody else. Yeah. Sure.
I think you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I think the bottom line is pride. And I don't know, Miles, but it's an ongoing work subject for the rest of our lives. The one thing that I really appreciate about the God of peace is that when Gideon saw that and said, hey, you are the God of peace, he was complete. The Israelites were humble, and the Midianites were going to do them in. And, you know, it came down to, Gideon's just like, look, I don't know what to do here. And God said this, this, this. And finally, it didn't make any sense, really. And that is really where this takes us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because to put myself aside, to put my thoughts aside, to put what I want, think, and feel aside, is not natural.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's from above.
You know, the fear of the Lord, you know, do I want God's way or do I not want God's way? And, you know, to examine ourselves constantly, because it's a war. This is a war.
Yeah.
And thank you very much.
Yeah. It does seem like he is talking to people who want to be wise and who think they are wise. And Elizabeth, yeah.
I think sometimes we catch those words before they fly out of our mouth. But like you said, they're still in our heart. And the word was just really talking to me this morning about complaining. And how insulting that is to him.
For me to complain, and be dissatisfied,
yeah.
To be content, because it's a lack of trust and appreciation and gratitude, and so I just want to repent in front of everybody and ask the Lord to keep working on my heart.
And he will, and he does that, and he's excited about that. Cool, let's pray. He doesn't tell us not to talk. That's true, I think. You know, I'm not going to confirm that straight off. I'll need to do my research. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you that we can rely on you to give us the wisdom that is necessary for this life. And it is not from our own... It's not from our own ideas or even gifts, Lord, of wisdom. Those things do come from you, but when we follow ourselves, we end up in a hole dead. And Lord, you are life, and you give us life, and part of that is wisdom, Lord. Help us to think about what we're saying and to examine our hearts and to change and to throw out the bad, Lord. There's always dross. There's always dross. And we ask that you would burn that up, Lord. Lord, keep on refining us. Keep on working on us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us eternally and enough to just to bless us and work through us and in us and through us and in unity with other people. We love you, God, and we give the rest of this morning to you. In Jesus' name, amen.